Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Memchet, and we're holding right at the big lines on daf Mem Zayin Amud Beit, Echad Ger, ve'Echad Eved Meshuchrat. So the Braita yesterday that described the Tefillah and the Tamid Chachomim that are standing over the Ger at the time of the Tefillah, seems to be saying at the end of the Braisa that this entire approach is necessary both for a ger and for an eved. When you free the eved, you have to be tovel him again because now he's entering in a state of Yisrael to be a complete ben Yisrael with kedushas Yisrael. You can marry a bas Yisrael. You'd have to do the same thing. Now, kasaka daitach, which appears to mean at first glance, you'd think that this is the Kabbalah Laval Mitzvot, that it's referring to that business about having the Talmid Chachamim saying to him, remember there's such and such mitzvahs that you have to be Mekabel, and that he would have to do so. Same way that the Ger has to be Mekabel B'Shas Tefillah. V'Raminu, but the problem is that the Braita says not like that. The Braita says, B'Me Devarim Amurim, when do we need to have all of this Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs and this saying over by the best end of the mitzvahs, B'Shas Tefillah, that's Dafka where it's a ger. But in a problem of an Eved Meshuchrar, since he was already Mekabel Mitzvahs, and when as soon as he became an Eved, he already was Mechayev to do mitzvahs like all the mitzvahs of an Isha, doesn't require new Kabbalah's mitzvahs. It's a contradiction between the prices. Omer of Sheshas, it's not a problem. Our Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, this price that says that you do not need Kabbalah's mitzvahs when you're Meshachar and Eved, that's going Aliba, the Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. But the end of the first price that we had yesterday, where we talked about a Chiev, both with the Ger and by an Eved Meshuchrar, that's going Aliba, the Rabbanan. Where do we see this Machlokas? The Tanya. Now remember that one place where we have some fascinating Mekiras for what appear to be Dinim of Geras is the issue of the Efas Toar. Now that's a very strange kind of Geras because making a woman a Jew, and this is in order, you're taking her in the context of war, you're capturing her, and you're taking her as a wife. Okay, so ultimately, if you're taking her as a wife, you're certainly not allowed to marry a non-Jewess. So how do you take her as a wife? So this now becomes some of the mocker of the Dinim of Geras. And it says over there, Uvachta et avia vetima yerach yamim, and it goes through the entire parsha that you have to take her into your house. Vachta, sorry, veveta tor betecha, vegilta et rosha vasta tziponea, veisirat simlat shivyame alea, viashva bebetcha, uvachta et avia vetima yerach yamim, vacharkach tavo. So somehow or other, at the end of that month, you are able to, apparently, to convert her even Baal Korcha, is what it seems to be saying. So what exactly does this mean? So Bamed Varim Amuri, when do we need to go through this whole rigmarole of having her sit there for a month, and we'll see, it could mean even up to 120 days, the Pashtus of the Pasuk, which we'll be talking about later. That's only where she was not mekabelet mitzvot of her own. But if she is ready to become a gioret, you don't need to do anything. Kibla aleha, so then mutar b'miyat. The Torah is not telling you that a yifas toar is somehow less than a normal gioret. And if she wants to be mekabelet mitzvot on herself, so she certainly can be mekabelet mitzvot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, there's a way to get around this whole jazz, even if she's not Mekabel Mitzvot. I understand that the Torah is giving you a way to take her, which is going to take 30 days or 90 days, as we're going to see. But there's a way around this, because what you could do is, you can take her as a Shifcha, and you can force her into the mikveh, l'shem shivchut, and then you immediately free her, because the truth is that you're not really allowed, l'chatchila, we're going to see, Tosfos says mechadish later on, that even though there's this big machlokas bichlal, whether every eved requires a kabbalas mitzvah, this is a machlokas rishonim. According to Rashi, you can force someone to become an eved. According to the Rambam and most rishonim, you cannot force someone to become an eved. But Tosfos points out, meaning you can force him to become an eved, but you cannot force him to become an eved who's chayav the mitzvahs, and we'll see later on that there's a question of whether you're even allowed to keep an eved who doesn't keep mitzvahs, so that we'll talk about. But in any event, the way Rashi understands it, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying, so you simply force her to become a shivcha, and then you can be meshachrer her, so you give her a get shichrur, and at that point she's automatically a free woman, you may be chozer umatbila l'shem shichrur. So even though Tosfos is bedayik from the Gemara that the Rabbanan assert this, even according to Rashi, the Rabbanan assert this, but since over here you're not really intending to keep her as a shivcha, you're just going through the motions in order to contravent this whole business of needing to wait 120 days or 90 days before she's able to be your wife, so then you can do all of this in a day. So you see that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, there's no problem of taking an eved without kabbalas mitzvahs, and then he would become mutar bar miyah. Then he would be able to take her right away. So you see that this means that where did the Torah say that you have to make her the wife the way that it makes you go through over here with the bachtat aviyavetima and the simlat shivya and the cutting her hair and so on and so forth? That's only where you did not want to do that. You didn't want to turn her into a shivcha, even for a minute, even as a procedural thing. So you wanted to go by the book. And to go by the book is to keep all of these dinim of yifastaya. But you see, according to this, that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is taking for granted that even if there was no kabbalas ha-mitzvahs at the time that you're being tevel for shichrur, and apparently over here that's the whole point, because if she was mekabelet mitzvot, so then why would you have to go through this whole thing? Even the Rabbanan are made that if she wants to become a giyaret and she's mekabelet mitzvot, that you do not need to treat her like an eshes yifastayar, you treat her like a normal giyaret. So apparently, there's a machlokas. The Tanakhama says the only thing that you can do is if she wants to become a giyoret, then you can circumvent the need for the whole procedure of yifastor. But there's no other way to circumvent it. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says there is another way to circumvent it, namely by making her a shivcha and being b'shachrer. But if she needs to be mekabel mitzvahs at the time of the tefillah for shichrur, you're not really circumventing it because she doesn't want to be mekabelas mitzvahs. So apparently, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, you don't need kabbalas mitzvahs. That explains the two brises. So the brisa that says the same way that this is true of a ger, that you need the kabbalas mitzvahs, b'shas tefillah, that's going on libe de Tanakama. And the other brisa that says that this is only true of a ger, but not for an eved meshuchrar, that's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And what is the basis for such an idea in Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? My time in the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Because if you take a look again at the Korban Pesach, it's so fascinating that all of these dinim are in context of Pesach. It's not just that we happen to be learning this during Pesach, but the idea over here is that the specific relationship of Mila, and of course the relationship that we have to Avdus Bichlal, and to Geras, all of this relates to Pesach as well and connects to what we were talking about yesterday, the relationship of Yibum to Geras, because the Knisa to Mitzvahs, or the introduction of Klal Yisrael to becoming themselves Yisrael, and that's where we learned out Mila Vitvila, right? That was the original Machlokas. Whether from, we learn out from the forefathers in Mitzrayim or from the mothers in Mitzrayim, where we only had tefillah, we didn't have mila. In any event, there too, the idea was the relationship to the identity of Yisrael. Obviously, it wasn't to a religion, because the religion didn't exist. So there you see clearly that the whole mocker of Gerus had no relationship to religion. There wasn't a religion. All that was happening was that a bunch of slaves were going out and becoming an Am. Vayisham l'koy gadol atzum v'rav. They were going out of Mitzrayim. And the Gemara was talking about it. So how did they go out of Mitzrayim as Bnei Yisrael? What do you mean as Bnei Yisrael? They didn't have to be mekabel mitzvahs before there were mitzvahs, did they? So that's the point. They're not being mekabel mitzvahs with the Gerus. They're being mekabel the Shem Yisrael with the Gerus. And that was the issue of the original Mila and the Tefillah. So now the question is, we know that an Eved required Mila because even the Odin was not allowed to eat from a Korban Pesach unless he was Mal Es Avadav, according to Moshitas. So therefore, this idea is part of the whole issue of the identity of Pesach. Now, since it says over there that Kol Eved Ish Miknat Kesef. Now, explain to me when you say Eved Ish. Now, what the heck does that supposed to mean? Only if a male owned the Eved and if a woman owned the Eved, so then there's no din of that. That doesn't make any sense. If we know that Arelut is a counterindicative to eating a Korban Pesach, so why would that make a difference if the owner is a male or a female? It can't mean that. So what it means is Eved Ish, an Eved who is an Ish, meaning that he is a mature human being, he's an adult, and he has his own mind. You can be Mal, even though the guy says, will you get your hands off of me, you nut? And you can go ahead and you can give him a Brit Milah, even though he says no. That must be what it's coming Gufa to tell me. But you could not be Mal, a son of a Ger, let's say he's coming, and he has a son who is already an adult, and the boy does not want to become a Ger. His father can't say, sit down, kid, you're going to go through this Kamala Rye water. That's not a Gerus. So where it comes to an Avdus, there's a number of different approaches, but this Rashi likes this approach best. So when it comes to Gerut, you cannot force someone into Gerut if he has his own Das and he's a Gadol. But if it comes to Avdut, you can. That's what it's saying, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So if you can force someone to get a Bris Mila, so then it means that you are creating a state of Yisrael without his acceptance of mitzvahs. And how do the Rabbanan understand this? Rabbanan? Amar Ulav. No, the Rabbanan said it's ridiculous. K'shem she'atam ben ish bal korcho. It's obvious that you can't give someone a bris mila against his will. If this is the child of a ger and he is old enough to have his own opinion on the matter. So what do you do? Kach yatam mal eved ish bal korcho. You can't mail a male eved. Ve'ela, what do you do with the pasuk? V'chol eved ish. Ah. That's coming to tell me a tremendous chiddush. And that is the chiddush that Shmuel said. Remember that there are two completely different issues that are going on in the ownership of an Eved. One is the fact that we learned before that a Yisrael can actually own the actual body of another human being who is a goy and dispose of it in a sense as he wishes, at least in terms of utilizing the work of that body, right? For that, there is ownership. But then there's another issue, of course, and that is the status of Avdus vis-a-vis the Kedushas Yisrael. Now, those two things don't necessarily go hand in hand. In order for somebody to be Yotze from the status of Yisrael, of an Eved into the status of Yisrael, and to be allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, normally the Odin will give that Eved a Get Shichrur. That Get Shichrur, with Tefillah, creates the status of Yisrael, and now he can go marry a Jewish woman. Shmuel comes up with an amazing halacha, which we're going to see, has to learn from the Pasuk, that if somebody removes his ownership from the Eved, and all he does is he's mafkir the Eved, then he does not need to write a Get Shichrur. The Omar Shmuel, ha-mafkir avdo, yatzal ha-cherut, ve'eno tzarich le-get shichrur. Now, obviously, he still is going to need tefillah, but that's not your business. He can go and be tevel L'shem ben charin, and that's enough. And how does he know it? Shenemar v'chol eved ish miknat kesev. Now that can't mean only the eved of an ish and not the eved of an isha, because as we said, that's ridiculous. If there's a discussion over here about the status of achilas pesach based on the eved's lack of mila, so why would that make an afkamina if it's an ish or an isha? But the point over here is eved ish means it's an eved that there is someone who has a reshus over him. So eved sheyesh lo reshut rabo alav korui eved. He's called the eved of an ish. That means that he is dependent on another human being. And he becomes now a subject of that other human being, which is why we can define the status of one in terms of the other. But if there is no reshus rabo alav, then he's not korui eved bichlal. Remember where we had a similar issue in Chagiga about chatzi eved, chatzi ben chayrin? If we are going to remove the reshus of the odin, then even though the odin has not as yet freed him, he is considered, according to the Gemara, this is the difference between the Mishnah Rishena and the Mishnah as it now, after Beisilu v'chozirim v'moidim lebeit Shammai, he's not considered to be Yeshlo Adon Acher. It's El Ha'adon Hashem, even though technically speaking, he still has an Adon, but in reality, he has no Adon because he cannot assert bilus over him. Shom Ein Rishus L'Rabo Alav, he's not called an Eved. And because of that, there's no need for Get Shechrus. So this is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So therefore, since the Rabbanan did not give you an option with the Yefas Tayar, they didn't say there's something you can do besides going through the whole rigmarole, or besides her actually becoming a Gioret on her own free will. So because of that, we're assuming that, of course, that means that there's an overall machlokas about whether you can do a shichrur of an eved without Kabbalah's mitzvahs in general. So that's why we turned this into two brises, in a general machlokas about what the din is of yitzia from avdus l'cheres with that tefillah. Do you need Kabbalah's mitzvahs or not? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying you do not need Kabbalah's mitzvahs for haraya. He says the yefas toar, you can get around everything by just making her a technical shivcha for a moment, giving her a shichrur, and even though she's kicking and biting and saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this, nonetheless, it would be okay, and it is a valid gerus. Maskiflor of Papa. Rav Papa says, I do not see that you can use the din of the Yefas Toar as a model for general gerus. Because Eimud HaShabbat Rabbanan B'Yefas Toar. That's because she was lo shaycha b'mitzvahs. Now look, I understand that the Rabbanan are not giving you an option other than actual gerus when it comes to the Yefas Toar. But does that necessarily mean that that's true? Let's imagine a situation like this. A guy took an eved. The eved was not mekabel mitzvahs, right? So this person, so it's according to the Rabbanan, he takes the eved, forces him to work, did not as yet get his agreement to Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and because of that, he's keeping him around, and he's forcing mitzvahs on the eved. The eved has to keep Shabbos, and so on and so forth. Now this eved is something like the kind of people that may end up working for you for, 20 years. They know the dinim of Shabbos better than most of the Israelis that walk into the house. You know what I mean? So they already used to know you can't do that. And this is milchiks. You can't put that down on this counter. And that's parav. What are you doing? And they're not even Jewish. Fine. Okay. If you ask them, are you going to keep all of these things at home? They'll say, what, are you crazy? Okay, but that means that they are already used to mitzvahs, right? So this eved that's been kept around doing mitzvahs for a long time now, and we'll see this in machlokas, how long you're allowed to keep an eved who isn't himself mekabel mitzvahs, but he's been doing mitzvahs anyway. Is it not possible that the Rabbanan would say that a tefillah l'shem shichur under circumstances where the person is fully aware of the mitzvahs, that it isn't necessary to have the Beis Din standing on top of him and telling him about the mitzvahs at the time that he's tevel, as opposed to the case of the Yefas Toar, who just yesterday was doing her striptease on stage and knew nothing about the fact that she was about to be invaded by a bunch of madmen with beards and payas and stuff, who are now going to take her and make her wives. I mean, of course there's a difference, I would think. So maybe the idea is that the Rabbanan are talking about the Yafas Tohar because she was never involved in mitzvah. So, you know, all of a sudden turn her into a giyoret by making her a technical shifcha and giving her a getcha. That's nuts, say the Rabbanan. But maybe in a case of an Eved Knani who's been doing mitzvahs anyway, even though he doesn't want to, so maybe the Rabbanan would be made that if you're Meshachar him, so then even if he's not Mekabel mitzvahs, if you're Matvil him, L'shem Shichra, that Eino Chinami, he would be considered to be an Eved that is Chayev now as a Jew, because you were Meshachar him, maybe. And I know that you think that this is maybe an emotional kind of distinction, but I'll show you from the Braisa that it's really true. Take a look at this Braisa, the Tanya. Echad Ger, ve'echad lokeach Eved mina Oved Kuchovim. Now look at this very carefully. It says whether a guy comes as a ger or whether you purchase an eved from an Ovid Kochavim. I don't understand why it specifies purchasing the ger from an Ovid Kochavim. I mean, you might as well purchase the ger from a Jew. Who cares who you purchase the ger from? It should just, the eved from. It should just say, Echad ger ve Echad eved, right? No. And it says that in that case, he needs to be mekabel mitzvahs and you cannot be mishachar him without Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Now, what's the implications over here? That if, in fact, you had purchased this Eved from a Jew, that then, if you're going to be mishachar him, he would not require Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Eino tzarech l'kabbalah. Okay, now I ask you, says Rav Papa, who do you think this Braita is going according to? You think it's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that any case of shichrur, Tefillah l'shem shichrur does not require Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Reb Shimon ben Elazar said beferish that I don't care where you get this from, even if you were lokeach from an Ovid Kochavi, because he says that this is true even about a Yafas Tohar, who certainly has not had any connection to mitzvahs before. And he says you still don't need Kabbalah's mitzvahs midiraisa. So over here, what's the difference? If you buy from a guy, you also don't need Kabbalah's mitzvahs. It's not going to be worse than a Yafas Tohar. El Alav, it's got to be going even the Rabbanan who argue with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And you see that the Rabbanan who argue with Reb Shimon ben Elazar only argue in the event that you bought the Eved from an Ovid Kochavim. But if you bought this Eved from a Jew, and this Eved is already all, knows all of the mitzvahs and so on, so then he doesn't need to be Mekabel, even according to the Rabbanan. That's what I would suggest, says Rav Papa. So what you've done is you've created an ersatz machlokas that applies to all gerim, and you've used that, which I don't agree exists, you've used that by making a model out of Yafas Tohar to create a machlokas by geris of an eved in general, tefillah of an eved in general, between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Oh, all right, so news, and then, okay, let's say you're right, Rav Papa, so now we've got a problem. So now we have the original stira. Remember, we only said that difference in order to answer the two prizes. The first prize said echad ger, the echad eved mishuchra. And the second prize said not for an eved mishuchra. So we had a beautiful answer, which you, Rav Papa, are now messing up. Okay, because you're saying that there really is no general machlokas between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon ben Elazar. There's only specific cases where we would have that machlokas, namely the case of the Yafas Tohar, or a similar case of someone who purchases an eved from a goy. And these brises do not make those distinctions, and apparently they're talking about any and all circumstances. So we can't use the circumstance as an excuse. So how do you explain the contradiction? Now we go back to having the contradiction. It says, Echad ger ve'echad eved mishuchrar. And the Braita otherwise said, beferish, no, it's not true about an Eved Meshuchrar. The answer is, yes, Rav Papa, go ahead. Says Rav Papa, the answer is simple. You were the ones who decided that the meaning of Echad Ger Ve'echad Eved Meshuchrar was a reference to the Beis Din standing over the tefillah and insisting that there has to be a Kabbalah's mitzvahs, but maybe that's not what it was referring to. Maybe it was referring to the fact of tefillah. You would have thought that since at the time that I made this Eved an Eved, I was matpil him l'shem avdus, which included the chiyuv of mitzvah. So now if I'm mishachra the Eved, what do I have to be tevelim again for? Comes along the Braita to say no, because of the additional kedusha that comes at the shichra, there needs to be a tefillah in the mikvah. That's all. What did it say that you needed to have Kabbalah's mitzvahs? Therefore, you were the one who imagined that there was a contradiction between the brayso. There never was a contradiction. Our brayso was referring to tefillah, and the other brayso that says Kabbalah's mitzvahs is not necessary for shichur avanim is absolutely true, even according to our brayso. It has nothing to do with our brayso. Anyway, let's get back to the Yifas Tohar. Now, what does it mean, actually, when it says, V'gilcha et rosha ve'asta et ziponeha? It's something of a contradiction, isn't it? I mean, if she's shaving her head, she sure ain't going to look very pretty. So, on the other hand, it says she should do her nails. Like, what do you mean, do her nails? You know, like, go to the nail lady and get a beautiful nail polish. And I mean, so make up your mind. You're trying to make her look beautiful, trying to make her look ugly, or you're trying to make her look Hasidish. Which one? So, of course, this would only be for those who insist that women shave their hair, which is not a valid minhag. Anyway. So what does it mean when it says she should do her nails? So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, means she should cut her nails. Rabbi Akiva says, no, she should let her nails grow and not take care of them. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, well, look, I mean, it says she has to do something for her head. Namely, she has to shave her head. And it says she has to do something. It says do. I don't know what that is. She has to do something for her fingernails. So I'm assuming it means the same thing. Just like there, I shouldn't say fingernails, her nails include toenails as well. So malahalan havara. So just like by the head, it means she should shave off her hair. Then it makes sense to say that for the fingernails, she should take off, she should cut her nails. Rabbi Akiva says, I agree with you that they're certainly comparable, but is the comparison the cutting? I would say no. The comparison should be to the focus of the reason. When we say that there's asiya barosh, what do we mean? So nemar asiya barosh, v'nemar asiya b'tzipornayim. Just like the asiya barosh makes her ugly by shaving off her beautiful hair, so too about her nails, it has to be something that makes her look ugly, which is that we do not allow her to shape her nails, but they have to be allowed to grow without anything. V'raya l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer. There is, however, an indication that Rabbi Eliezer is right, and that asa means to remove, because when Mephibosheth ben Shaul came down to greet David HaMelech, he showed that he was in mourning for what David had gone through and with this horrible rebellion. And it says over there, lo asa raglav velo asa sfamo. He didn't do his feet and he didn't do his mustache. Now, over there, obviously, the doing over there means removing. So it means he didn't do, meaning he didn't shave his mustache, and he didn't cut his toenails, or it may mean he didn't do, meaning he didn't shave his pubic hair. That's already another shita. There's a number of different shitas. So let's talk about toenails. So he didn't do. Okay, so that means that it was clear that asiya in that case would work out according to Rabbi Eliezer. Removal. Another issue is what is meant by bachta et avia ve'etima. She cries about her mother and father. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, because she's being taken away from her family. And it means she should be allowed to go through a period of avelut for the loss of her father and her mother. Avia avia mamash. Ima ima mamash. Rabbi Akiva says, oh, it's way more than that. It's a reference to mourning her gods. Avia v'ima refers to Avodas Kochavim. And she can be sitting there in your house and speaking to Yashka Pipik and saying, oh, you know, sweet Jesus, what am I going to do with these Jews? And you got to sit there and listen to her bemoaning this. You know, God only knows the names of the entities that she's talking to. I mean, it could be as bad as a Beatles song, you know. They go through all of them. And you got to sit there and listen to that. And you got to do that for 30 days. If that doesn't turn you off of this girl, I don't know what will. But anyway, that's what it's referring to. And we see that that's true because it says in the Pasuk, Omrim la'etz aviyata, these idiots will say to the wood, you are our father. So that is talking about actually an Avodah Zarah. And then it says, Vila Evan, and they say to a stone that At yiladetanu, you gave birth to us. Okay, so that's motherhood. So then she's talking to Mother Mary. I don't know who she's talking to, but you got to sit and listen to it. Daddy and mommy. So that basically gives you, the Rambam paskins both of these. So she has to do this for Yerach Yamim. How long is a Yerach Yamim? So Yerach Yamim, but Pashas means 30 days, which is really how we paskin. But Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, no, read the pasuk carefully. You come up with 90 days. Tish imyon, because it says Yerach. What is said? Yerach. She should be bachta Yerach. So Yerach itself would have meant 30 days. If you add Yamim, so then it's saying Yerach plus Yamim like the Yerach. And then it adds V'acharkein, which is adding yet another Yerach Yamim. So that's another 30. That's 3 times 30. Matke Floravina, I mean, if you're going to interpret the pasuk like that, so you could say Yerach means Shloshim, Yamim means another Shloshim, and then the Acher Kain means another time the same, means 2 times 60, which gives you Kihani. Another is 120 days altogether. If you're going to go to town, why not go to town all the way and why say 90 days? Why not say 120 days? Gosh, that's a little bit of a problem indeed. Turn her up on it. Mekaimim avadim she'enam mulim. Now, getting back to the question, if lemaisa you have an eved that you have not been mal, and he refuses this mila, which according to the Rabbanan, there's never a time that you can force mila on someone. So what is it then? So according to the Tanakhama, you're allowed to keep an eved who was not Nemo, meaning that he basically never was makabel mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs that he's chayev to keep as an eved. And that's what we mean. We mean he's not a ger at all, on any level. So you're allowed to be makayim according to Rabbi Yishmo. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're not allowed to be makayim and eved like that at all. That's a violation of the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Avram Avinu. It says over there, you lead by it, to miknat kesev, mikol ben nechar, asher lo mizarachahu, imolachem. So it says, imol, imol, yilid betcha, miknat kaspecha, vaitabriti bepesarchem. I understand, you're going to go, and you're not going to be mekayim the ikar bris with Avram Avinu? That's crazy. How would you be allowed to keep such a person at all in your house? Omale Rabbi Shmos said to Rabbi Akiva, but it says beferesh, v'yinafesh ben amatecha. Doesn't it say that the ben amatecha, we're going to be talking about this because it also says the ger over there, and we'll talk about what that's a reference to. And that ben amatecha has got to be referring to a non-nemo, meaning a non-Jewish eved, who never was mekabel mitzvahs, and we're going to prove that in a minute. And it says that you have to make sure that eved does not work for you on Shabbos. Now, that would mean that there would be a deraisa iser, even though it's also to ask any goy to work for you on Shabbos. That's an iser derabbanan, which we call a mir la'akum. But this would mean that if you have someone in your house who is your eved, it's an iser deraisa to have them work for you on Shabbos. There's even some Rishonim who say it's an iser to allow them bichlal to work on Shabbos, even if they're doing it on their own das. But in any event, it's clear that there is such a concept. If there would be no such entity, Rabbi Akiva, why would the Torah be describing this as the meaning of Shabbos? I don't get it. Says Rabbi Akiva, well, let me expand your imagination, my dear Rabbi Yishmael. Here it is, 30 seconds before Shabbos, and you just signed the deal on this eved, and you bring him into your house, and now it's shkia. Now, what are you going to do? You certainly can't do a mila on this eved on Shabbos, can you? So then that means that for this Shabbos, you've got an eved who is not Nemo. What are you going to treat him as? You're not allowed to ask him to work for you. Now, is that not a valid interpretation of the pasuk? It's for that time, but it's not a definition of what you're allowed to have. We know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, and that was the bris that we were nichnas to. Anyway, but what I don't understand is how are you so certain that the Yinafesh ben Amatach? I mean, nobody argued about that. It was just a question. I mean, Rabbi Akiva didn't say, who says it's talking about a non-converted Eved? He didn't say that. He just said, look, it must be for that first Shabbos in a case where you bought him right before Shkia, and there was no time to do a milah, right? So apparently everybody agrees for sure that in the Pasuk of Yinafesh ben Amatecha, it definitely is referring to an Eved Arel. Why? Why do we jump to that conclusion? Why don't we say that it's a reference to an Eved? So my mashma, the Tanya, V'yinafesh ben Amatecha, the Braita explained it. This pasuk of V'yinafesh ben Amatecha has got to be referring to an Eved Arel, HaKatuv Medaber. Ata omer be'Eved Arel, so says you. Maybe it's referring to an Eved Mahul. Oh, eno ela be'Eved Mahul, but maybe if you have an Eved that was not mekabel any mitzvah, so maybe that Eved can work for you on Shabbos. Ah, but you see, kishuhu omer, remember that we also have a second presentation of Shabbos in Vetchanan, and over there it says, Laman yanuach avdecha ve'amatecha kamocha. Oh, now we're talking about an Eved and an Amma that have the same dinim of Shabbos as you have. Now that's talking about an Eved that was mekabel mitzvahs. And over there it's a given that Laman yanuach, yes, they have to be exactly like you. So that would be the case of an Eved Mahul. Again, remember that Mahul doesn't mean literally circumcised, because obviously the Amatecha doesn't mean circumcised, but it means that was Mekabel Mitzvah, and that is a full Eved or Ama. So then Amani Mekayim Ve'yinafesh back in Shmos, what's the meaning of Ben Amatecha? That could only be telling me how to treat an Eved Arel. But wait a minute, it says Ben Amatecha Va'ger. I mean, that's crazy. What do you mean a ger? Of course a ger is chayav. If it's talking about a ger, then it can't be talking about a non-circumcised Eved, can it? I mean, those are two completely different things. So what's the meaning of a ger? No. Ger, of course, doesn't mean a ger tzedek. The ger that it's referring to over there is a ger toshav. So over there, where he was mekabel on himself, toshav mitzvahs b'nei noyach, so he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, it says that the ger, even though he wasn't mekabel mitzvahs, is basically not to do melacha on Shabbos. Machlokas, whether that means for himself even, because since Shabbos is the equivalent of Aveda Zorah, Mechalo Shabbos is the equivalent of someone who's Aveda Zorah, so then he's mechuyev to keep Shabbos, or whether it means that he doesn't do any kind of melacha that might benefit a Ben Yisrael. Okay, but whatever it means, it's a reference to a ger toshav. Well, again, so says you. Ata omer ze ger toshav. Maybe it's referring to a ger tzedek. How do you know it's referring to a ger toshav? Kishu omer v'gerecha asher b'sharecha. So back in Ve'et Chanan, it says beferish that over there, Yom HaShvi Shabbat LaShem Elokecha, Lo tasek o melacha tov incha o vitecha v'avdecha v'amasecha v'shorcha v'chamorcha v'chobemtecha v'gercha asher b'sharecha. So that is referring to the ger who's keeping Shabbos just like you are. Hare ger tzedek amur, amani mekayim v'hager back here in Shmot. That's referring to a ger toshav. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, alokeach Eved mina ovek o chavim v'lo ratza lamul nugalgelim at 12 chodesh. So if you bought an Eved, so we said before that you're going to need to make sure that he's mekabel mitzvahs, you'll have to do according to the Tanna Kamma that argues on Bishum ben Elazar. So what if he doesn't want to be nima, and we don't learn from the pasuk of Eved ish that you can force an ish to be nima? You can be megalgel imo at 12 chodesh. You can work, try to work out things with him. Megalgel imo is like, don't give up on him, you know, roll with the punches, we say in English, right? So you see that the concept of rolling, megalgel, is that you attempt to deal with a rotten situation. So you roll with the punches. Same thing is true of this Eved. Roll with the punches. Don't give up on him. Keep working with him so that he can see how valuable it would be to be mekabel mitzvahs, but don't just decide that this guy's impossible and therefore I got to get rid of him. But if after 12 months he still was not mal, so then chozer u'mochro lo avid kochavim. Then you're going to have to sell him back to goyim, and you're not allowed to keep him. So according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, here is the Diak and Tosfos. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, why are we not saying that we could simply force him to be mekabel mitzvahs, force him to get a meal? That's what we said before, that Reb Shimon ben Elazar learns that out from Eved Ish. So you see from here that nobody holds in a practical sense, meaning that even bin Rabbanan, you'd be allowed to do that. You are definitely not allowed to do that. That's for sure. Even Ali ben Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And the point over here is that to keep a guy around like this, who is not in favor of keeping mitzvahs, is a disaster. We're going to have a guy in the kitchen who holds that you are a jerk and wants to mess you up as much as possible and is going to run out to the supermarket and buy pork and throw it into your chalent and say, oh, yeah, I got this at the kosher. I mean, what is crazy? You can't have somebody like that around your house. So because of that, for sure, more than 12 months, we can't have that kind of situation. Then you'll have to sell him back. Now, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva told Rav Papa, when they said this over, they said, L'chora, this can't be going Ali ben Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to keep him even for a minute. And over here it says you can roll around with him for 12 months. So this is Bedafkin, not like Rabbi Akiva, right? Amarlu Rav Papa, no, not right. Not necessarily. Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva. Because Hani Milech Lo Paska Lemilta. The idea that Rabbi Akiva said you're not allowed to keep an Eved who doesn't want to be Mekayim Mitzvahs. That's only where there was no time that the Eved stopped being an Akum. But suppose the Eved actually said, okay, I'm going to get into this. And he stops worshiping Avodah Zarah and so on. Then he never does get into it. Never does get himself a bris milah. Instead, he goes back to church and so on. Even Rabbi Akiva is made that once he wanted to be a Eved kosher, that's the way the Rambam uses the Lashon of Kabbalah's mitzvahs for an Eved. The Rambam's Lashon is, you say to him, Ritzoncha lihiyot ben avdei Yisrael hakisherim. And that would mean his acceptance of avdus is ipso facto an acceptance of his status of a kosher Eved to a Yisrael, which means that he's mekabel mitzvahs that women are mechuyavot on himself. And so since he was going to do that, even though he never really followed through, maybe even Rabbi Akiva agrees that we do our best to get him in the end to do what he said he was going to do. Omer Rav Kahana, I said this over, this whole discussion that we just had, that according to Rav Papa, Rabbi Akiva would be made that you can keep him. And I said this to Rav Zvid from Narda, and he said to me, that doesn't make any sense, because if that's what Rabbi Akiva held, so then ki amale Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva had to answer Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel asked him, if you say you're not allowed to keep an Eved, how do you explain the fact that the Torah presents Shabbos in context of an Eved who hasn't converted? There's no such thing according to you. So Rabbi Akiva said, what answer? It's talking about that he bought the Eved a minute before Shabbos, and it wasn't time to convert him, right? Why did he say such a crazy answer? He could have said, look, I agree that in cases where the Eved had committed himself to becoming Jewish, and then he didn't yet, that over there you can keep him around while you work with him or while you're rolling with the punches. But he didn't say that. Instead, he said, it's talking about you bought him a minute before Shabbos. I mean, don't you think he should have said an answer like that? Lishnei Leha, he should have said this answer. That doesn't bother me, says the Gemara. Because, look, we often find that instead of giving all these kinds of explanations, you want to tell somebody, what's your problem? Do you not understand that it's certainly possible for there to be an anus? I have to start getting into you with all of the details of cases where I do hold it, where I don't hold it. I tell you one obvious answer that anybody should be able to figure out. That's all. But of course I could have told you that. So I told you one of two times, you know, Ravin sent a message over here that Rabbi Loi said, and he said, and listen, I want you to know that it's not only that I heard this, if you don't trust me, I'm telling you that I was taught this in the name of Rabbi Loi. Kol Rabotai Amruli Mishmo. All my Rabbanim, they all told me that this is what Rabbi Loi said. Ezo Eved Arel Shemutar Lekaimo. Where is there no problem of keeping an Eved Arel who has not become a Ben Yisrael? This is where the Rav takes the Eved Lechatchila and says, I am buying this Eved not to make him a Jew. I am not interested in importing him into Yisrael. So the Rabbanit said this also over to Rabbi Papa, and they said, it seems to us that he's only saying this to local Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, I thought Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to keep an Eved like this. But then it wouldn't be going according to anybody, would it? Because even Rabbi Yishmael wouldn't be going according to, because then why do you need a Tanai? Rabbi Yishmael would hold that you can do this even without a Tanai. So that you can answer by saying that Inochinami, since as Tosra says, there would be an Isser Drabonan, if even according to Rabbi Yishmael. So maybe what Rabbi Loi was saying over here is that everybody's minded that there's not even an Isser Drabonan, because if you said L'chatchila that, look, I'm taking this guy to hang around, I do not intend to treat him as if he's a Jew, to ask him to be a Jew, I don't want a Jew. I want a guy around. So, okay, so that means this is not a guy that's going to be in your kitchen. It's not a guy that's going to be handling your things and so on. And it means this is some whatever. You want to get somebody to take care of your sheep out in the pasture 100 miles away. Okay? So that you're allowed to do, even midrabanan. That apparently is what the Talmidim held. But nonetheless, it should not work according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to. Said Rav Papa, how do you know? Maybe afilu teimer Rabbi Akiva hanimile echad lo asnimade, but that's only where you didn't make it tonight. Maybe this is talking about where Yudavka did make it tonight. Aval echad asne, even Rabbi Akiva is made it. And Rav Kahana says the same problem. Omer Rav Kahana, I said this over to Rav Zvid Minarda, and he said to me, then why did Rabbi Akiva, when he had to answer Rabbi Yishmael, who said, how do you explain Shabbos, where the Torah says that you have to make sure that your Eved, who is not Nimal, shouldn't work for you? How do you explain that? And he only had one explanation. He said, I explain it by saying that you bought the Eved a minute before Shabbos. Why didn't he say that it's talking about that you had made it tonight, that you weren't going to keep this Eved as a Jew? Lishneleha, you can answer this case. No. No, said Rav Kahana. And according to you, why couldn't you answer the other thing? Where we said that the Eved had originally committed himself to becoming a ger, and then he refused to go through with it, and we said that even Rabbi Akiva was made a, that you roll with the punches for a while, right? So, I mean, you have to agree. You didn't argue on that. So again, so what's your problem? Rabbi Akiva was giving the most obvious answer. There might be two or three other answers. I don't know. So he gave one out of two or three answers. That's not a kasha. Now, Yosef, Rav Chanina Bar Papi, and Rav Ami, and Rav Yitzhak Nafka were all sitting around at the porch, or at the entrance room of Rav Yitzhak Nafka, and they talked about this case where there was a city where Ir Achat Hayta Be'eretz Yisrael, where the Avadim did not want to get a bris milah. So they had apparently captured a lot of Goyim. None of them agreed. They went on strike. And they said, keep your dirty hands off of us. And no, we are not interested in Mila, you perverts. Get out of here. Fine. So they refused to have anything to do with this. And what happened? They rolled with the punches for 12 months. So now, who were they going according to? Because here we're talking about the city in Eretz Yisrael. So according to which Tana is it? Ki Haitan. Like we said, but Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, wait a minute, not in Eretz Yisrael. That's why we're introducing this as a new story. Because over here was in the Irak HaChaz of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we would not allow this. Why not? Because remember that in Eretz Yisrael, we're very makpid not to be mitame and yonim in Eretz Yisrael. And since over there, we could have truma, and we could have truma d'oraisa, we don't want people that are going around and could be tameim. And so therefore, in this case, ein bashinato b'Eretz Yisrael, they have said taharot. So because of the problem of tyrus, we don't want them around. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, why is it a problem? Since Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was the one who said you can force the Eved to become a Jew. Okay, great. I'll force him to become a Jew. And therefore, I'm gonna make sure that there's not a problem with tyrus. As Tosfos already said, of course the Rabbanan Aser doing this. If he's going to be putting Chazer in your Chalent, you can be sure he's going to be Metame Barnea's Truma. So therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, I don't really have an Eitzah over here. And let me tell you something else. If this city is a city that is near the border, so that it's between the Arabs and Eretz Yisrael, then for sure you don't leave them around even a minute, not because of Rabbi Akiva, but because we don't want spies. And this guy is a fifth columnist. And if he's sitting here in a city where there's things going on from Mishmar HaGvul and so on, so then Shema Yishma Davar, maybe he'll hear some kind of plan, a army plan or whatever, and he'll go, and he'll go and tell it over to some guy. And that could damage the defense of Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, Rabbi Chananya, Benosh, Rabbi Gamliel, Omer, Mipnei Mal Geirim, Bizman Hazem, Unim. Why do we find that Geirim, when the Beis HaMikdash is not there, why are they just as bad off as the Jews? I mean, shouldn't they be in a better state? Why do we find that, I mean, they're not part of the whole history of Yisrael and so on, that they should have to suffer? And why are Yisurin Boim Aleihem? And why do we find them also in the matzav? This is the way the Ritva understands. It's not that they're more Mu'unim, but it's that they're not treated any better than other Jews. So why is that? L'chora, they shouldn't be carrying around the Avona Votam, because Mipnei Shelo Kibu Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Maybe it's because when they were goyim, they didn't keep the mitzvahs that they were mechuyev on there. So there in Achinami, they weren't as goyim, they weren't punished. Because in Olam Hazeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish them. But once they became Bnei Yisrael, now we want to make sure that they have a big chelik in Olam Haba. So if they were over any of those mitzvahs, then they suffer the same way Yisrael suffers in Olam Hazeh, in order to have a greater chelik in Olam Haba, that they should have only of their Yisurin. Rabbi Yossi says, that's ridiculous. A gershin itgayer is kekatan shendailan. He's like a newborn. What do you mean? Because before he was a ger, he was over. That has nothing to do with anything. His behavior before he was a ger is the behavior of a different person. And therefore, it's not his responsibility to worry about that nut. So he is really only responsible for himself. So why is it that they end up having these tzoras? Because it takes them a long time to figure out all of the dinim, and they're not bekiyim b'dikdukei mitzvos ki Yisrael when they start off. And so because of that, they end up getting Yisurin. Abba Chanana Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Sofi she'eno sim mi'ahava, ela mi'yirah. Because it's some of these guys, if they had been, as we said, we were very, very worried about what is the ulterior motives over here. So is it clearly an issue of love, as it's introduced in Rus? Remember, the whole issue over there is a love affair, and the Gerut per se is a love affair. But, and that's why we said amazingly that even the Kiyum of the halacha that you're supposed to be saying over the mitzvahs, in root, in Megillah's root, those mitzvahs were said over as part of a statement, a proclamation of love, which, although it was expressed in terms of the love of a human being, that Naomi, Ruth was in love with Naomi and said all of these things as a statement of love, We understand that Na'ami to her was a hyper-literal, so to speak, love of the Shina. So in other words, the person is a person. But the moment that she said, listen, old lady, I don't give a damn if you approve of this or not. This is what I'm doing. It was at that point that Na'ami accepted the fact that that means that her love is real. Because if she looks at me the way a goy looks at love, it's always love objects. I always point it out to you guys. You take a look at goyish songs about love, they're always about a person. It's always an individual. Now, how the heck is an individual love? That's crazy. But you take a look at all of the poems about love in Yisroel, they never mention an individual. They only mention love. So the fact that that love may have a love object, like the Rambam says about the Torah. The Torah is a love object. The love object of a deeper love, which is the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So, in the Torah. So, therefore, that becomes a love object. So, the same thing is true. If the giyur was not done for love, so then it was done to get something out of it. The moment that it's to get something out of it, that's called yira. Even if it's to get more meaning in life, even if it's to get olam haba. All of that is called yira, like the Rambam says beferish in the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva. That is mitoch yira. But if you're in love with that person is to you the actual embodiment of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the story of Rut. And that is what we're worried about, that we don't actually have that in the case of a regular gerut. And therefore, it turns out that we don't have love, we have yira, which is always a getter of mitoch, an ulterior motive. Acherim omrim. No, you know why? It's because it took them so long to become a ger. I mean, their neshamas were up there on Har Sinai. What took now 2,000 years to get here? But more closely, it was a process, wasn't it? So first the ger started thinking about, you know, I really should become a ger. Because I don't know what the heck I'm doing in this nonsense, right? So then he thinks about it for another month, and maybe for a year, and then he talks to a rabbi, and whatever. But it took him maybe a year or two to become a ger. Why'd it take you so long, you idiot? The moment that you realize, you should have gotten out of there like you were burning up. So because of that, they feel terrible, and therefore they are me'unim. Sheshoatz ma'milikanez tachat kanfei hashchina. It took them so long, and therefore they suffer. And indeed, we see back in Rus exactly this idea. Omer Rabbi Abo, v'itemer Rabbi Hanina, Mikra, where do we see this? Because what Boaz says to Ruth is, Yishalem Hashem po'olech, utihi mazkurtech shalema me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, asher bat lechasot tachat kinafav. So the idea of here is that it's not just the fact that Hashem should pay you back for the incredible things that you've done in becoming this Gioret and in teaching us what it means to be a Gioret. But because Asher Bat, the fact that you hurried, that you pushed, and that you insisted, that is a special schus. And therefore, it must be that this is an issue that we have to worry about in every Gerut. How insistent, how much pushing, how much of a rush was there Asher Bat Lechasot? So that gerus, which was done entirely out of love, love creates urgency.